major revelations come down the pipe recently that's radically transforming our faith, like now word, bringing tomorrow into today. You cannot ever catch up with tomorrow. If you have tomorrow faith, one day faith, soon faith, you'll never catch up to that. Soon will never come. Tomorrow will never come because tomorrow is always tomorrow. You have to bring everything you're believing for into today. Today. I'm going to deal with today a little bit, but I am dealing with something really powerful today. We're going to come into Mark 4. I'm going to exhort a little bit of it. I know you've been taught this. We used to teach this all the time in the early days. I know you think you know everything about this chapter. There is a lot in there. Praise the Lord. Just hit me like a lightning rod on Monday. It was amazing revelation. Mark chapter 4 speaks about the sower soweth the word. And he goes on to say in verse 11, he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. And so within this chapter is the mystery of the kingdom of God, how the kingdom of God works. It's all there. It's in fullness. It's embedded into this chapter, but you have to have Luke chapter 8's account, Luke's account, Matthew's account to bring that into fullness. We've been running around Mark 4, circling around it, circling the wagons. I mean, we've been all over this chapter. It's amazing how much revelation's embedded layer upon layer. It reveals itself into where you are in the process. And he goes on to say in verse 13, he said unto them, do you not know this parable? How then will you know all parables? First, he said the mystery of the kingdom of God is embedded within this chapter. And he said, if you don't understand how this works, if you don't understand the dynamics of this parable, you're not going to understand any parables. Because the entire kingdom of God has its basis in this chapter, has its basis in this particular operation. He packed a lot in this particular chapter, and more than I could have presently known. And said, the sower soweth the word. Now, it's important that you meditate Mark 4, Luke 8, and Matthew 13 together. All three of their accounts, because they're all given different parts of this, to get the full panoramic picture of what's going on here. And what it's supposed to do is add to your faith on a glory-to-glory basis. You go from faith to faith. But there are crowning revelations within this chapter that will just literally catapult your faith. It'll move your faith. The Word of God is designed to build your faith and to release your faith. It's not just to give you knowledge. If you'll ever learn, we'll never get there. We have to apply the faith, and we receive the faith from the revealed Word. And he said, the sower sowed the word. Now, Matthew 13:13, when you hear Matthew's account, he said it was the word of the kingdom, specifically dealing with this particular parable. But he said he sowed the word of the kingdom. Say the word of the kingdom. But it's the word of the kingdom that the enemy is going to come after. But you get in a religious situation where there's no revealed word, there's no life in that word. And that word of the kingdom's not coming forth. And the word of the kingdom is what the enemy is going to come after. And then he goes into this chapter and specifically speaks of five areas the enemy's going to come immediately. When that word of the kingdom is sown, the enemy comes immediately. Say immediately. He sends everything. And I was thinking of the intercessors yesterday. I said, listen, you go to a church with heavy word, there'll be heavy warfare. But you don't focus on the warfare. Jesus already said it's coming. But if you focus on the warfare, you're going to get a warfare mentality. If you get a warfare mentality, you're not going to produce the fruit of the kingdom. You have to have an overcoming mentality. Amen. An overcoming. You focus on the glory of God. You focus on the purity of God. You focus on the power of God, not on the enemy. He's going to come. You don't want to speak what he does. You don't want to have his assignments in your mouth. Day in and day out, you want to have God's word in your mouth, not the enemy's assignments. You start agreeing with him all the time. What you'll do is you'll start sinking down in the miry clay, and you'll prophesy your own destruction. Did you hear that? But he's going to bring it. He's going to bring persecution. He's going to bring affliction. Jesus himself said it's going to happen. He's going to bring deceitfulness of riches. He's going to bring the cares of this life. The cares of this life will get you so caught up in this life. You have no time for the kingdom of God. That's an operation of a satanic warfare assigned against you. The cares of this life. We're not in the revelation yet. I'm just laying the foundation. But listen, when he brings this, he'll surround your life with care. He'll surround all 24 hours of your day. Where you get caught up in the cares of this life, you have no room for God. I hear people all the time, when I get full time, I'm going to be able to do it. I said, listen, if you can't do it now, if you don't know how to carve out now, you think ministry is going to give you time? If you haven't developed the capacity to carve out time for God, ministry will fill 20, it'll fill 48 hours of a 24-hour day. I mean, people will fill up you. If you let people fill your schedule, they'll fill you up. You have to make God first. It's like giving. If you're going to shuffle God in when there's provision, I'll give. Well, you're never going to give. You got to put God first. In time-wise, you got to put God first. Say, God, I have no time, but I'm going to put you first and believe you to redeem my time. God is a redeemer of the time. It's amazing. You put him first, how much time he'll pack into a 24-hour day. Amen? You let the cares of life, they'll gobble up your time. Deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things. So he says, all of this is a sign against you. Then he says something remarkable. He says, verse 20, and these are which sown on good ground. Say, that's me. I am good ground. That's the ground that's made it through all the other. That's the ground. And he's going to give four basic operations of good ground. He said, these are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it. And like I said, you have to look at Luke 8 and Matthew 13. In these specific verses dealing with this, he talks about four areas. As we know, we've been taught this. We hear the word of the kingdom and understand it. That's Matthew. We hear the word of the kingdom and we receive it. That's Mark's account. We hear the word of the kingdom and we, what? Keep it. Say, keep it. Now, that's Luke 8's account. The keeping of the word is probably the most important thing you will do on this side of eternity. I'm not talking about keeping knowledge. I'm not talking about hearing the word. I'm talking about having a God-ordained Rhema promised word that's been transferred by the Holy Spirit directly from the right hand of God, directly from the Lord Jesus Christ, a living, breathing word that's been given to you, a destiny. A promise. The word of the kingdom pertaining to you individually. And he gave a direct commandment to keep it. Say, keep it. You got to keep it. You hear it. Understand the word of the kingdom. Receive the word of the kingdom. See, all this takes position. You have to be positioned for this kind of thing. If you're serving the world, you're not going to hear the word of the kingdom. You're going to hear the world. And when you get all of this, and you're keeping the word, and you're obeying God, and the cares of this life are coming at you, and persecution's coming at you, and affliction's coming at you, and people hate you. And people are doing you wrong, left and right, turning their back on you, and you still keeping the word. One day they love you, one day they don't, and you still keeping the word. People are signing up for you for life, and they make it 3 months, and you're still keeping the word. You go through bad decisions in your life. It's cost you, but you're still keeping the word. Condemnation, guilt, and shame, but you're still keeping the word. Because he required you keep the word with patience, the word of the kingdom. You don't let it escape. You keep it in three places. You keep it in your mouth and the frontlets of your eyes, and you keep it in your heart. You keep it in your vision gate. It forges its identity within you. Because how the kingdom works, it transfers to you. And then it's required to be kept there. Amen? Now, if you look at verse 15, I'm going to back up just a minute. Hallelujah. Verse 15, and they are they by the wayside when the word is sown. When they've heard it, Satan cometh immediately and taketh it away. And the word that was sown where? In their heart. It's very important, this word. Though it's a living entity, it's sown. Where is it sown? It's sown in the heart. You have an invisible kingdom dwelling on the inside of you. You have an invisible future dwelling on the inside of you. You have an unseen destiny People may not see it, but you see it. People can't read your book, but you can read it. How many of you got a God-ordained promise living on the inside of you? You can walk out there in the earth. You look just like them, just like the world, but you've got an unseen destiny dwelling in the frontlets of your spiritual eye gates. It's invisible. It's hidden. But it's no longer a mystery because it's been revealed to you. Though it's unseen, it's very real because you can see it. It's the evidence of what you see becomes your future. That's what the enemy's after. He's after what you see on the inside. Though it's unseen, God gives a promise of the word you're carrying will manifest. Now, I want to venture into these next two verses because this is what exploded. First half of it exploded. It said now, verse 21, he said to them, they that do all four of these, they'll reap 30, 60, or 100-fold fruit. Then he gives this amazing verses. And I've taught them in one dimension, but now they have transformed into a whole other dimension. And that dimension has added a tremendous level of faith. He asks you a question. Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a candlestick? Well, we know the candle he's talking about is the Word of God. Is it brought to be hidden? Or is it brought to bring light? Now notice what he says here in the next verse. For there's nothing hidden that shall not be made manifest, neither is there anything kept secret that should come abroad. Now the way we've taught that, the way it was revealed to us in the first level, was the Word of God was set on the candlestick of our heart, and it would begin searching our heart, finding out everything that was between us and that Word. He would search it out, and sometimes you might have to go 75 days of fire. So when it searches it out, it goes in attack mode and destroys everything contrary to it. And that's one particular operation. But there's a greater operation. He's specifically promising, if you will do these things that I ask of you, if you will keep my words, if you'll receive them and keep them, if you'll keep them through persecution and affliction and the cares of this life and deceitfulness, if you'll lose your life to keep these words, if you endure, here's my promise to you. There's nothing hidden that's going to stay hidden. There's nothing in it shall not be manifest. Though I'm hiding it in your heart, thy word have I hidden in my heart. I promise you, says the Lord, if you do these things, I promise you, there is nothing hidden that shall not be manifest, though it's come invisible, though it's come into a hidden place in your, though you've kept it, people may see it, may not see it, but you see it, though you walk with it, though you talk with it, there's nothing in it that shall not be made manifest into your life. There's nothing kept in the secret place of your heart that it will not come abroad. I promise you I will bring it abroad. I promise I'll bring out you into the open. I'll bring that word I've given you and I will make it open. If you will not lose it, if you will keep it, I promise you. Was a candle brought to be put under a bushel? I put it in there. Though it's got to be hidden for a season. Its purpose is not to stay hidden. Its purpose is to be revealed to all. Its purpose is to be open to all. Its purpose is to manifest. Man, when that hit me. I knew he'd promise manifestation if I'd keep it. I knew that it was not going to stay hidden all of our life to walk around with a promise of God dwelling on the inside. That I had to walk around all my life. That there'd be a day God would bring it out in the open. He promised to manifest it. He promised it wouldn't stay hidden. He didn't bring it to put it under a bushel. He didn't bring it to put under a bed. He just asked for it to be planted. Can I plant the heavens up inside you for a season? Can you carry the heavens on the inside of you for a season? Can you carry this word? Can you pass through the fire? Can you pass through the water? Can you pass through Amalek and Ishmael and Eleazar's? Can you pass through the unclean and the clean? Can you pass through persecution, affliction, trespasses? Can you pass through mean-spirited people? Can you just keep going when you can't see anything? Can you hold it while it burns a hole on the inside of you? When you can't see anything in the natural, when everything has been made contrary to what you're carrying, the more I carry it, the worse everything gets around me. Can you keep it anyway? Will you hold it into the ground? Will you allow me to plant the heavens? Because I promise you, there's nothing that I will hide in your heart that will not be manifested. And there's nothing kept secret on the inside of you that it will not become abroad. I'll bring you forth. I'll bring it forth. He promises to bring it forth. I have a promise of the eyewitness because I'm carrying the word of the eyewitness, and he promises it. Well, I'll hold it there. It will come abroad. The corporate eyewitness will be established among men in this last hour. Go to Matthew 5. His requirement, can you keep it? Will you keep it? Will you stay with it? Will you stay with the vision? Will you stay with the promise? Will you stay with what I said? Will you hold it in the frontlets of your eyes? Will you keep it in your heart? Will you keep it in your mouth? Will you acknowledge it every day when you don't feel like it? Will you not allow it to escape when the enemy's tearing you apart? Will you emerge from your fire with my word intact? Or will you get bitter? Will you emerge victorious? Or will you emerge discouraged? Wanting to quit. Will you hold the line? Because I promise you, I have brought this word to set it on a lampstand. I set this word for all to see. Now, he's going to borrow the imagery of this particular chapter. He's going to say something, Mark chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. You are what? Light of the world. That's not your flesh. I can assure you, he's not lighting your flesh up for the world system to see. He's talking about what he's sowing inside you. He's talking about what you're carrying. Though you might be carrying it in a hidden place, it's going to be revealed. God's going to reveal the promises, the glory, and the kingdom, because that's the word of the kingdom. It's coming with kingdom manifestation. It's coming with kingdom fullness. He promised it. We carry the constitution in our heart, on the frontlets of eyes, in our mouth. God promised, if you won't let it go, it will not remain hidden in your heart. I will bring it. I'll bring it. Bring it, God. Say, bring it on. Bring it, God. Bring it. Today, I am a city set up on a hill. You're the light of the world. You're a city set up on a hill. Look, a city set up on a hill is one that is seen. It is one that is seen by all. I am a city set up on a hill. And he borrows the direct imagery from Mark 4 in the next verse. Neither doth men light a candle and put it under a bushel or upon a candlestick, but it might give light to all that are in the house. He didn't bring that word for you to die with it on the inside of you. He brought it to bring it forth, to make that word, Christ in you, your promise, your destiny, your future, a city set up on a hill. That's his promise. I'm going to reveal you. Everybody's when is different. It doesn't matter when. He said, if you'll do these things and keep it, If you will anchor down in my word and hold it in your mouth, hold it in the palms of your hands, write it down, keep it in the front of your eyes, keep it as everything in your life, and don't let it depart. If you'll do this, I'll bring it forth, and I'll put that word as a city set upon a hill. That's a lighthouse. The nations will see it. What's inside of you will be revealed to nations, and there's nothing the enemy can do to stop it. Because if he could have stopped it, he would have already stopped it. And if the five things he brought against it couldn't stop it, then he's done. And you're on your way. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's always saying they want to see your good works. Listen, people don't break down because you go start smiling at them. And saying, God bless you. Do you know Jesus? People don't break down and start glorifying God because you're smiling at them. They're going to take a little bit more work than that. What's going to cause people to break down and start glorifying God and profess that God's in you is your light. The glory of the kingdom of God is at hand. This demonstration's coming out of your life. What he promised to make you a city set upon a hill, and power of God's coming out of your life, and the maimed being made whole, and the blind are seeing, they will break down and begin to glorify God. There's something's coming out of you now that man can't bring out. Something's coming forth out of your belly will flow. Some living waters are coming up out of your life. The people begin to glorify God on your behalf. My God, hallelujah. I can't wait. For today I am a city set on a hill. Today what's inside of me is a city set upon a hill. It's set upon a media hill. It's set upon the nations. It's set upon the cities. It's a city set upon a hill. Glory to God forever. Say, today I am a city set upon a hill. There's nothing hidden that will not be manifested. There's nothing that's been kept secret place in my heart that it will not come abroad. God's going to shed it abroad. God's going to take what's inside and he's going to open the fountain. You're not going to walk in obscurity the rest of your life. You're not going to walk hidden with the pain of only those who carry the word no, that carry a promise no, not being able to touch that promise, but carrying the weight of it all the time. God's going to keep that. He promises to make you a city set on a hill. Isn't that glorious? Let's give him praise. Hallelujah. Now go back to Mark 4. Now the next part. A lot of times when the Lord teaches, the Father likes to demonstrate the message. Amen. He's going to provide a demonstration, an actual demonstration. He's been talking about the word being hid in your heart. It has to come to a place of rest. It has to be kept in your heart. The enemy's going to come after with persecution, affliction, and warfare. You've got man's perspective and you got heaven's perspective on what's going on. Tonight I'm going to show you a little bit of what heaven's perspective instead of man's perspective when you choose to keep the word. Because what's going to happen, he's going to give you an illustrative sermon in this very chapter after he taught. He's going to move into an illustrative sermon. Amen? So go down Mark 4, verse 35. He said, and that, say that, same day. Say that, same day. The same day. Today. Today. He taught it, then it's time for manifestation. It wasn't next week, next month, next year. Today. 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 Verse 35, that same day, today, when even was come, He said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. So he gives his word. He said, we got a job to do. We got a kingdom. The word of the kingdom. Now notice what happens. And when they had sent away the multitudes, they took him even as he was. You know, I like that word, even as he was. Because he was the creator. He was the mighty Logos. He was the word. Before he was Jesus, he was the word. They took him even as he was in the ship. And they were also with him little ships. So the word, they get the promise, right? And then what they do is they take that promise and they step into the vessel. See what he said? The sower sowed the word. So the word gets up into the boat, just like he did it in Peter's boat. The word steps into your vessel. Because you're the one got to carry it. The word don't carry itself. It's got to come up into somebody. It's got to come up inside of you. The word's going to come up inside, going to come even as he was. He's going to sit down in that ship. He says, now let us go to the other side. That's the promise. That's the vision. That's the destiny. That's your future. Everybody's going, all right, glory. God never tells you what's going to happen on the way. Never. He just gets up and everybody's happy. We got the word in us. We got a promise. We're going to the other side. This is a demoniac of Gadarene with 6,000 devils. I'd like to be able to cast out one devil, much less 6,000. Bring revival, because that's the city of Decapolis. 10 cities are going to get touched by this, because God's going to send him to be an evangelist. We're going over there for a demonstration. Revival's just right over there. I'm in the boat. And the word does what it needs to do. It's so at a place of rest in the boat, he goes to sleep. Goes to sleep. He's at rest. The word has brought everything to rest. Because God has already spoken. We're going. Amen. God already spoken. When he spoke it, we're on our way. Amen. Then what happens? The sower sows the word. Illustrative sermon. Now listen, you got heaven's perspective about what's going to happen. You've got man's perspective. We're always looking from our perspective, what we're going through. But God's got a perspective too. Amen. Verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind. Satan cometh immediately. But this time he's going to do God's work. He don't know it. But he's about to do God's work. And that's not just to give them a hard time in their journey. This is a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Probably the only one I know that can go to sleep while water is flooding into the boat. The boats have been made full of water. Now, that's man's perspective. Right? We're going through storms. The enemy has come immediately. Man, I got this vision and everything's broken out. Nothing looks like we're on our way. There's nothing but black storms. My boat's full of water. Jesus seems like he's sleeping. Where are you, God? I can't even hear you. He promised to be with you. I'd like you to talk to me every once in a while. You ever thought about that? God tells you something. I mean, he just talks to you all the time. And all of a sudden, you launch out and then you can't hear nothing. I mean, where did your voice go? Where was all that building me up? Got me ready to be the city set on a hill. To be a first world revivalist. Signs, miracles, wonders, and demonstration and glory. I've seen nothing but storms since I said I do. One storm after another, and God said, your boat ain't full yet. I don't need any more persecution, affliction. See, heaven had a perspective. That's all my perspective. That's your perspective. That's the disciples' perspective. But God had another perspective. He needed the boat to get full. It wasn't full yet. Before I finish that, I want you to go to Luke chapter 8 real quick. You need to see this one. God had to do something before he got that word to the other side. So he used the enemy to fill the boat. Luke 8, verse 5. The sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. It was trodden down. The fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock. Now, I told you what it was, Matthew 13, Luke 8, Mark 4. But Luke 8 says here, verse 6. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it, what? Lacked moisture. It lacked water. God said, let us go the other side. He put the word in the vessel. But while they're on their way, it was too much sunshine. Too much sunshine upon your forehead will bring the wrong part of you out. Did you hear what I just said? Too much sunshine upon you, yourself, and you will bring too much of you out. So God had to water the seed. So the enemy obliged God. He brought a storm in heaven's perspective and said, oh, yeah, allow that. I need to fill the boat with water anyway. Because I don't do anything until I bring it out of the water. Everything I ever do, I'm going to put it under the water first. The blessing is in the water. Make sure he stays there until that boat gets full of water. Keep crashing the waves in. By the way, my word will be intact. It's not going anywhere. It's sleeping on the hinder part of the ship. You might be tossed and torn. The disciples might be tossed and torn. But my word knows exactly where it's at. I'm watering my word. Heaven said, come on, bring some more water in. You got bigger wave than that. Come on, crash it in. Bring another wave. There's not enough water yet. My boat is not full. Gotta get the seed full of water because it's lacked a little moisture, a little too much sunshine upon you. In the midst of the storm, you'll get removed, but my word will be well watered. God said, oh, and that's enough. Wake him up. The boat is full. Wake him up. When the boat is full, the word is ready for some action. Ready for some demonstration. Ready for some manifestation. He rose up immediately and rebuked the wind. That's enough. I'm full now. That's enough water. Stop. Be still. The disciples missed heaven perspective. Oh my God, the wind and seas are big. Master, do you care not that we perish? I mean, it would have been nice if there was a booming voice out of heaven and God said, hey, the boat is not full yet. God don't tell you everything. It's called faith. He don't let you in on all of it. But they knew. Jesus and the Father had their little secret. He said, I'm going to go to sleep now. I need some moisture. You take care of the business. Wake me up when the boat is full. Wake me up when my ground has been well watered. Wake me up when the seed has fell into the ground and died. Wake me up when the storm has made my boat full. I'm prophetically speaking tonight. Many of your boats have been made full. You said, how long have I got to be in this storm? How many years I've been in this storm? How many months I've been in this storm? And God said, tonight your boat is made full. You're going to arise this day. You're going to rebuke the wind and the sea of the earth is going to obey you now. Because there's something inside you now that's much greater than this earth, much greater than the adversities of life. When you arise, you'll be able to decree the storm, still, be still. Everything will come to hush, hush. Greatest storm of your life. Shh. Hush. That'll be enough of that. I've had enough water. I'm ready now. He had to rebuke the disciples for not understanding anything, being out of perspective, being out of alignment. But once he got the hush, everything, just like right now, went still. Now, let's go. And as soon as they got to the land of the Gadarenes, Matthew chapter 5, immediately the one come out of there that was holding 10 cities back. 6,000 devils living up in one man. They were ready. That word was ready now. And he entered up into that. He broke the power off that man. A man wanted to follow him. Sent those devils up into those swine, caused 2,000 swine to go crazy, drove themselves. It's amazing the capacity of human spirit. 6,000 devils. What's your name? Legion. We're many. They knew the terminology of their day because legion was a Roman term, meant 6,000 soldiers. Those devils knew the terminology of their day. 6,000 were many. Legion. Drove them out. That man wanted to follow him. He said, now you go back to where you're from, to Decapolis, and you tell him what great things the Lord has done for you. 10 cities, Decapolis. Broke the power over that. You know, there are certain miracles that unlock entire cities. Certain miracles that unlock cities. But to get that kind of operation, we had to go through some storm. But God was using the waters to baptize us. Because God doesn't do anything until he brings it out of the water. Even Peter, before his ordination, had to throw himself in. Holy Ghost goes, look, if you don't throw yourself in, I'm throwing you in. Dude, he chunked himself in the water. The other one stayed in the boat. He was dripping wet, and the Lord ordained him. Right there, dripping wet. Feed my sheep, Peter. Feed my sheep. Feed them. You're ready, Peter. Anointing's coming upon you. The glory of this first revival, the early rain of heaven, is on you, Peter. He was a most imperfect man, but a most perfect God rested upon him. He did exploits. He unlocked whole cities. His shadow, the glory of God, come upon him walking down the street of Jerusalem. That was a hard place to minister, most religious city ever, full of the old. Man, he walked down the glory, and they bring him from all the surrounding cities. Can't wait for that. Today, we are a city set upon a hill. What's inside of us today cannot be hid. What's inside of me today will manifest. What's inside of us today will come abroad. Today, what's inside of us cannot be hidden. I am a city set on a hill, and I cannot no longer be hidden. The hidden mystery, the hidden government, this hidden promise, carried through fire, carried through waters. My boat is full. Our boat is full. We're full of waters. We're full of the waters now. Speak to the storms this day. Say, peace, be still now. We speak to those contrary circumstances and we say, be still. No more of your name will be seen or sown again upon our land. You are utterly cut off and you will not rise a second time. For God has made us utter into the affliction. Today we are a city set upon a hill. Today that which was hidden is manifested to all. Today is the day of our revealing. today is the day that rivers of living water break forth into the nations. Today, we're ready. Today, we're ready. And Lord Jesus, we have carried this specific word of the corporate eyewitness. We've carried it through the fire. We've carried it through the waters. We've carried it through persecution. We've carried it when men did not understand. Even the fathers didn't understand it. But we understand it. You gave us the understanding of it. And we have kept your word. You promised. There is nothing that you've hidden in our heart that shall not be manifested, nor anything that we had to keep as a secret in our heart, that it would not come abroad. We have a promise that you will manifest in our midst, that our witness will be authenticated before men, the corporate eyewitness will be restored into the earth, the apostolic government will birth and break forth into the nations. Apostolic testimony will be stored in its fullness this day. For it is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad, and in your glory is upon us. Your glory, this word is in us. It cannot be stolen or taken from us. Those times are way past gone. Our boat has been filled with the waters. We're ready. We've passed into the baptism. We've entered into the baptism. We're ready to emerge from these waters to be commissioned for our country of the Gadarene. For the Gadarene mantle. For Legion to be unseated. For this city to be unseated from the powers of darkness. They can stand against the church, but they cannot stand against apostolic testimony. For apostolic testimony will release the glories of thy right hand into the nation. And thy right hand today is moving. It's flowing like great and mighty waters. Today, you break the dam. Open the well of salvation. It's been hidden. We can see it, God, but it's time for the world to see it. What we have seen with the eye of faith, what you have seen, says the Spirit of the Lord. What you have carried with the eye of faith. The nations shall soon see what you see. The nations will see, says the Spirit of grace, what you see. For what you see with the eye of faith, what you've held in your heart, what you've spoken, will now be seen and discerned of the nations. For you are a city set upon a hill, and the nations will see thy glory. Oh, the glory of thy presence, the glory of thy word, we will never stop keeping it, Father. There's no storm that can intimidate us anymore. We see from your perspective and not man's. The glory of this mountain that we carry, the mountain of generational inheritance, the mountain of wealth transference, will surely break forth. This day its waters are flowing. Father, release and activate this grace now into this congregation. Activate this grace all over this congregation. Activate the waters. Activate the word. I feel the Spirit of the Lord. There's a spirit of activation in this house tonight, where the dormant word, the hidden word, is now going to be made manifest and activated from on high. Activated from on high.